name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is
with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created.
And thou shalt be the face of the earth.
Let us pray. O God, it instruct the hearts of your faithful by light of the Holy Spirit. Granted by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Ignatius.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So we welcome you back to our second session. So next week we'll just have one session, but we'll try to cover as much as we possibly can the second session to get you into the flow of things. In the second session, I'd like to talk about two topics. One is how to meditate, how to pray, and I'd like to go through the foundation of our exercises, our first meditation or consideration, which is called principle and foundation. So we're going to try to cover those two topics in this second conference as we start off our exercises. Okay, the program that I set up is like this tripod that we have in front of me. It's got three legs. The first is the talk. It will start at 1:30 on Sundays. The second will be next week after the talk. We're going to be break you into small groups, which you're going to be sharing for a couple of minutes how God spoke to you in one of your meditations. So you'll have a facilitator. Many of the facilitators have been working for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, so they're very, very expert at that. And they're just going to ask each one of you in the group of 10, how did God speak to you? Okay? How did God seem to speak to you? And very freely, spontaneously, you just tell the rest of the group how God seemed to touch your heart in one of those seven meditations. So after every meditation, which we're going to explain right now, we'd like you to spend a couple of minutes just writing down in your notebook what God said to you in that meditation. Okay? And then the third part of the tripod is what we're going to explain right now, is your meditation. And we like to call this your holy hour, okay? Not the happy hour, but the holy hour, okay? But hopefully it's going to be happy holy hour, okay?
Yes.
All right, so I'm going to explain to you what are the basic steps on praying, on doing your meditation. Okay, number one is you have to find a time, a place, and a method. 3 points. You have to find a time, a place, and a method to do your holy hour. Okay, let's start with the time. Now there are 24 hours in the day, obviously. I would strongly encourage you to do the holy hour as early as possible. Now you can choose, but I'll defend my position, okay? Number one, imitation of Christ. Read Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, we read a typical day in the life of Jesus. It says that Jesus got up way before dawn and was absorbed in prayer. I'll repeat, Jesus got up way before dawn and found a place. He was absorbed in prayer. When is way before dawn?
Three.
Yeah. 3 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, and he was absorbed in prayer. Now, do you have to get up at 3 o'clock? I didn't say that. But if he can do it early in the morning, that's the best time. Another reason why is, you read this in St. Faustine, I think it's common sense. You know, because of your busy work schedule, if you put it off, what's going to happen? You're either you're not going to do it, or you're going to do a sloppy job. Okay? Like Cain and Abel, you want to give God your first fruits, not your leftovers, okay? Another reason why, at least from my personal experience, is I find that my spiritual life is a constant battle. Maybe for you life is easy street, but for a priest, life is a battle. So I give the first hour to be able to fight the good fight during the day, to prepare for battle against the devil, the flesh, and the world. Those are the three enemies, right? To be able to fight the good fight and run the good race, we have to be well prepared. Your holy hour is going to prepare you to encounter obstacles and difficulties and trials that are going to come, whether you like it or not. You're going to be able to walk through the day, not by yourself, but accompanied by God. So I would encourage you to do it early. Second, the place. Some of you have heard of Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. Any of you?
Yes.
I'll be mentioning him frequently. He's one of my favorites. And he's kind of a model for us because he attributes his success as preacher and teacher and writer and bishop. And now he's venerable, so he's on the highway to becoming beatified. He says the reason why is this. The end of his life, he gave retreats to bishops and priests, and he would say to the bishops and priests, when you speak, people don't always listen. When I speak, people listen. He said the reason why? The hour of power.
Yeah.
Fulton Sheen. The hour of power. That hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament gives me power. I'm imbued, I'm anointed by Christ, the real presence. So the ideal place is to pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament. That's the ideal place. Now I'm going to be very honest. I know most of you probably cannot do that because of your work condition, so that's understandable. But let me give you an option. St. Peter Chanel is our parish. It's your home. Say thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
You're welcome. Okay. I thought that deserved a thank you. Okay. Okay. It's our parish, but it's your home. We purposely open up the doors of the church for you at 4:45 every morning. Say thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Does that deserve an amen or an oh me? Somebody's saying oh me. No. So I've got it all planned out for you. You can come at 4:45. Then we have a mass at 6 o'clock. You're welcome. So we'll see you tomorrow, okay? So you can make your holy hour right up to Mass at 6 o'clock, then you go to Mass. So you start off your day with holy hour and Mass. Can you tell me anything better than that?
No.
As the Beatles used to sing, it's getting better all the time, right?
Yeah.
You know, probably most of you cannot do that, but I mean, if you're not living too far away, you don't have traffic at 4:30 in the morning anyway, usually. So if you're not living too far away, let's you can maybe make that choice. If not, then most likely you're going to have to find some place in your home to pray where there's silence. Vatican II says that the family is the domestic church. John Paul II in Tertio Millennium Innuente to introduce the new millennium said there should be, the church should be a place of prayer and the home should be a place of prayer also. That's John Paul II. Your home should be a place of prayer. The family oratory. So hopefully you have an image of the Blessed Mother, Mama Mary, okay? Hopefully you have an image of the Sacred Heart. Hope you have an image of the divine mercy. Maybe of a statue of Saint Joseph. Then you can maybe light a couple candles. Then you can burn some incense. But not marijuana, okay? You want to burn some incense. Okay? And then you're creating the spiritual milieu. In other words, you have to create the spiritual environment. All of this is warm up. You have to kind of warm up to God. Having played baseball when I was younger, you don't get out in the field before warming up an hour before. You're going to pull a hamstring and you're out for 2 months. Huh? So Ignatius calls these spiritual exercises. You have to kind of warm up to it. Relax your spiritual muscles. Okay, once you've done that, okay, you're ready. We're going to be giving you, every session, we're going to be giving you your meditation. So you're not going to be winging it or ad-libbing it, but you're going to be following the program that we've set up. So every day for the next 10 weeks, we're going to be giving you your meditation. Some people think, well, during my holy hour, can I be praying the chaplet, the novena to St. Anthony? Can I be singing a song to St. Fulgentius of Raspe? Okay. Those are good things, no? Mm-hmm. But no, you try to follow the indications that we give to you. It's like building an edifice of 10 stories. Every meditation is a brick at a time. Okay, then you start. Start by making the sign of the cross. Then pray the Hail Mary. Always invite the Blessed Mother to pray for you and to pray with you. Okay, those two different prepositions, okay? To pray for you and to pray with you. Ask Mary to be with you. If you do that, it's going to go well. Mary never fails us. She never failed me and she never failed you. Okay? And then very important, you have to pray to the spiritual director of these exercises. That is not Father Broom. Okay? I'm God's useless servant. The director of the exercises is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8. What do we read in Romans chapter 8? St. Paul says, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Father. That's St. Paul, Romans chapter 8. With ineffable groans. The Holy Spirit, here's our teacher. Among the many titles of the Holy Spirit, he's known as the interior master, or the interior teacher. Then, okay, then move in, and you have your text. We're going to be giving you tomorrow morning, Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to give you principle and foundation. Over the past year, I've really been impressed by a writing of Pope Benedict XVI in his document, Verbum Domine, the Word of the Lord, which Pope Benedict gives us a prayer method. And it's called Lectio Divina. You can apply these principles of Lectio Divina to your meditation. Okay, these are the words that Pope Benedict gives us. Lectio Divina is a classical way of prayer in the history of Catholicism. Okay, these are the words. Lectio, meditatio, contemplatio, oratio, actio, and I add the sixth, which is transformatio. Want me to repeat those?
Yes.
Okay, it's Latin, but it's... I think most of you will be able to guess what those words are in English, no? Especially if you know a little bit of Spanish, okay? Okay. Lectio means you read. So tomorrow morning, you're going to be reading Exodus chapter 3. It's Moses before the burning bush. You're going to be Moses tomorrow morning. And your new name is going to be Moses, okay? Lectio. Read. Read. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Prayer of the young Samuel in the temple, okay? Read. But it's God that's speaking to you, because the Bible is the Word of God. God is going to be speaking to you. Then you got meditatio. You have the word meditation. That means you're going to be reading, you're going to be, in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary, ponder. Ponder, meditate means to think about it. Think about, what does this mean? Now, there's the universal meaning, but also there's the meaning for each of us individually. And as Jesus said to St. Faustina, we all have different prayer styles. There's none of us are equal. We're all different in the way that God deals with us. You have to learn your own prayer style, okay? Your own prayer, the way that God deals with you. Meditatio. Read through it. Holy Spirit, help me to understand, what is this? What is God saying to me through this passage? That's a good prayer. Holy Spirit, help me. I don't really seem to understand. Help me. Give me light. Enlighten my intellect. Get rid of those cobwebs, huh? Okay? Then contemplatio. We mentioned earlier the importance of the imagination. Contemplatio, the word contemplation. Imagine that you're there. Use your imagination. You're present there. With Moses, there's that burning bush. The burning bush speaks. Moses, take off your sandals. Moses entered into dialogue with his burning bush. What does that mean to you? Then contemplatio, from there you move to what's called oratio. What would that be?
Prayer.
Some of you know Spanish, oración, right? Oración, prayer. Then talk to God. Talk to him. Talk to him from your heart. Open up your heart and just talk to the Lord. You can say whatever you want. God loves you. God loves you very much, and God wants so much to talk to you. He respects your freedom, but the fact that you're here today, God is so happy that you're here today. God is looking forward to having a conversation with you every day for 10 weeks. God, you're making God happy. You hear me? Really? All of you are rejoicing the heart of Jesus and Mary for these 10 weeks. These are going to be the 10 best weeks in your life. At the 7 o'clock Mass today, I'm going to be placing all of you on the altar that this is going to be the best 10 weeks in your life. Okay? And God's going to hear me. God's going to hear me, I believe. Ask and you receive, seek and you find, knock on the door, be open. God's going to hear my prayer. Talk to the Lord then. And it might happen, you have something that's really going on, and you open up, and you're talking to the Lord. Before you know, wow, I was talking with him for 40 minutes. I really felt that he was listening to me. I know he was listening to me. I never had that experience before. I'd always be saying quick prayers and then end it and then move on. I spent 40 minutes and it seemed as if it were just 3 minutes. Use your own words. It doesn't have to be a Shakespearean English to be able to impress the Lord, no? So speak to him? One of my favorite biblical phrases is from St. Peter. Cast your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. I like that. Another one of my favorites is, come to me, all of you are weary, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm meek and humble of heart. You'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Yeah. Okay, then you're talking to the Lord, and all of a sudden, when you're praying, you have a distraction. You go back and read. Go back and read. And then something ignites in your heart, talk to the Lord, distracted, go back and read. So we're going to be giving you three things to meditate upon this week. Praying on foundation, the biblical passage. Also, about 5 years ago, I wrote out a commentary for every biblical passage for you people. Okay? Yeah. Because I recognize for beginners, the biblical passage did not seem to be enough, but it's going to be an hour. So I wrote out a long commentary, and I think my commentary is pretty well written. I'm a pretty good writer. Okay? I publish books, so I have a certain facility in writing. So whatever gift that God gives to me, I try to give to others. Yeah. So there's a lot of material. Some people, an hour, how am I going to get through an hour? Probably there's too much material. But don't see it as it's like a homework that you have to accomplish, otherwise they're going to be cracking your knuckles. No? No. If you don't get through everything we give to you in that hour, that's fine. Stay wherever God seems to be touching your heart. Oratio is you're talking to God. Then the last word that Pope Francis used is axio. A-C-C-I-O. And that word, of course, is going to be action. So you want to go, after you finish, go from contemplation to action. To bring the fruits of your prayer into your life. And the best model, of course, is the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Annunciation, and then the Visitation. Annunciation, Mary's in contemplation. The Visitation, Mary's going, and she's visiting Elizabeth, and she's giving to Elizabeth her love and her service. So Mary, we want to take Mary as a model in these exercises. Amen? Yeah. Take Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary. She's our model, and she's so happy that you're all here this afternoon. Now, I've added a baker's dozen to this equation. I mean, it's not written, but hopefully Pope Bennett will forgive me. I add the last word is transformatio. Transformatio, obviously the word in English would be transformation. As St. Paul says, no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Right? No longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Okay, just a short example. Okay, tomorrow you're going to be reading Exodus 3, and then you're Moses, you're drawn close to the burning bush, and you hear, take off your sandals, and you don't hear the name Moses, but you hear the name Mary, Elvira, Ed, okay? You hear your name. And you hear a voice say, draw closer. And instead of a burning bush, you see a heart that's on fire. And it's no longer the burning bush, but it's the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is the burning furnace of charity. And he says, draw close. And you draw close, and before you know it, it's not a burning bush, but you're resting on the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And he calls you by name. And he says, you know, I love you. You're my best friend. Tell me everything that's going on in your life. And you just open up. The first time in your life you really experience that God really loves you. You've heard it many times. But you experience this in the very depths of your soul, that God really loves you. There you are resting on the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And you get up. And you're no longer the same person. you go back to life and you see persons, places, and things with a different eye because God has changed you. You got me? Just one example. You know, okay, we can't change ourselves, but God can change us by His love. Now, as Americans, we tend to be super active. But the Bible says God loved us first. Let God take the initiative. God, we tend to want to do fix everything. No? We do. We're control freaks. We got to, yeah, huh? This we have to kind of let down our own defense mechanisms and let God love us. Allow it to happen. Now, when all is said and done, when God is in control of our life, that's something good, isn't it? No? Let go and let God. Another cliche. Okay, then after you finish that, give yourself an hour. Okay, Ignatius says an hour is 61 minutes. Okay, I'll repeat: an hour for Ignatius is 61 minutes. Okay, and we don't want to be whittling it away. At least 53 minutes. That's close enough. Give the Lord the hour. Then after you finish. In your notebook, write down how God seemed to speak to you. And you're going to, that you're going to be sharing in your group, one of those seven meditations. It might be as simple as this. You know, that bush, it wasn't a bush, it was the fire of the heart of Christ, and I rested in the heart of Christ, and I just, I was there for a half hour, I just felt good. I didn't say that much, but it just felt like Christ was embracing me. And I got up with this just great sense of peace. And that changed my life, that one mystical experience. Share that to the group. I mean, that's huge. Well, the other members of the group are going to be, you know, they're going to be impressed. Every one of you are going to have a different insight. And that's the beauty of the group, is that all of you, God loves. God is going to work with you all in a different way. You know, I'm from the East Coast. No snowflake is the same. Every snowflake is a different pattern. Your fingerprints, there's no one who has the same fingerprints. No? So all of you have very special gifts that are different to enrich the mystical body of Christ, which we call the church. Okay. Okay. So for lack of time, I'd like to move now into the last idea today, and I would like to talk a little bit about principle and foundation. So every day you're going to be given principle and foundation. Read through that, meditate upon it, then move into your biblical text. Principle and foundation is the foundation of the whole program, and it basically teaches us the why of our existence. The French say raison d'être, okay, the reason for our being. Okay, it was present in the first reading of the Mass today, and Thomas Aquinas makes this commentary. See if you agree with this. Everybody in the world wants to be happy. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, we all know that that's true. If that's the case, why do we meet so many people that are sad?
They're not praying to God.
Okay, right. And everyone wants to be happy, no? We've never had so many young people that, you know, commit suicide. I mean, it's a sad reality. Right? You know, girls that are cutting themselves right and left, you know. Up there in Palo Alto, 5 years ago, you know, sons of multimillionaires killing themselves. Remember the epidemic back in 2014, I think it was? They had everything. And I'll tell you the reason why. It's because they're searching for happiness where happiness cannot be found. Happiness can only be found in God. What does St. Augustine say in Confessions? Lord, You have made our hearts for thee. Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. St. Augustine lived a wayward life until he was 31 years old. He was addicted to sex. He was. He was a sexaholic. This was his prayer. Lord, give me chastity, but not yet. Not yet. Yeah. He said that. Read the confessions. No. Give me chastity, but not yet. I'm not ready yet. A little bit later. No. Then he broke it and he wrote one of the greatest masterpieces, the Confessions, in the history of literature. You know, money can buy you pleasure but not happiness. Yeah. There's a difference. It can buy you pleasure with money. But true happiness comes from encountering God, and that's why we're here these 10 weeks. We want to encounter God. Okay, Principle One Foundation, three ideas. First is this. We are created. Ignatius said, we are created to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God, and by means of that, to save our soul. I'll repeat. We are created to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God, and by means of that, to save our immortal soul. I was talking to someone about an hour ago about Thomas Aquinas. And they're saying that Thomas Aquinas, the greatest theologian in the Catholic Church, before talking about something, would always define the terminology. Because often you're talking about someone has a different interpretation of the word and the concept that you have. What is the word that is most used in the American English language? It's love. It is. Love. What is the definition that Thomas Aquinas gives of love? It's a good one. But it's related to this topic. Love is willing the good of the other. Love is willing the good of the other. What is the greatest good that we can will for another? The greatest way I can love you people is to help you to get to heaven. You agree with that? Yeah. The greatest love for anyone in this world is to be a bridge by which that other person can get to heaven. How many parents here? Do you love your children?
Yes.
Okay, if you really love your children, it's not simply material prosperity, not to say that that's wrong, but the greatest love for your children is you're doing all you possibly can to help your children to get to heaven. That's why making these holy hours is a way in which you're showing you love your children. Even though it's a lot of work, I'm going to do these holy hours to help my son who's no longer going to church. He's living with girlfriend and he doesn't believe in God. He says he's an atheist. Well, I'm going to offer this. I want his salvation. That's love. And there's a little bit of suffering in that. When there's love, there's the cross. There's the cross. You can't separate love from the cross. Now, if you've understood this concept, you know, years ago when I studied the Baltimore Catechism, and I'm betraying my age now, the first thing I learned was this. We are created to know God, love God, serve God in this life, to be happy with Him forever in heaven. Remember that? Those were my vintage. Remember that? No?
Yes.
We're here. The younger generation, you didn't learn that catechetical truth, but I love it. We're here to know God, to love God, to serve God in this life, to be with Him in heaven. I teach catechism to little kids. They do a little charade. Sometimes they keep on the conocer a Dios, amar a Dios, servir a Dios, mediante su llegar al cielo. I said in Spanish, sorry. We're here to know God, love God, serve God in this life, to get to heaven with God. So say, for example, you do these exercises, and by spiritual osmosis, this is just sunk right into the very depths of your heart. Every time you make an action, is this going to help me to get closer to heaven? Is this going to help my friend to get closer to heaven? Is this going to help my wife to get closer to heaven? Is this going to help my friend to get closer to heaven? If not, I'm not going to do it. This is going to be an obstacle for my friend to get to heaven. Well, I'm not going to do it. See, what I'm saying is, this principle and foundation, it's a whole philosophy of life. Given that I've been given these exercises for decades upon decades, my way of acting is this going to help these people to get to heaven? That's always in the back of my mind. This is going to help these people to go to heaven? I'm going to do all I possibly can to be a good bridge. They have to be stepped upon? Okay, that's fine. As long as you can get them into heaven. Okay, for example, I had a little argument with a lady after the 10 o'clock Mass. Can I tell you why?
Yeah.
Okay, she's sending her daughter to a school here in Southern California, and the daughter's going to be living on campus, and the mom only lived 15 minutes away. So I was fighting with her, she was trying to defend herself. The daughter was there trying to defend herself. They said, "Look, give it one semester. Living on campus, there's a lot of dangers. It's not so much, the teaching is going to be erroneous. It's going to be somewhat erroneous. No? But living on campus, you're throwing your daughter into the den of lions." She said, "No, Father, we'll see how it works out." I said, "You're playing with fire." Now, she was probably a little bit offended with what I said, as well as her daughter, but that's, I have to always... I'm not here to win friends. I'm here to get her. I'm afraid for her daughter. I graduated from college 40 years ago at Villanova, and that was a Catholic. There was already the party scene back 78. Here it's 10 times worse. Says I spoke with that motivated by principle and foundation. Let's get that 18-year-old girl. Let's get her into heaven. I used to say when I went to Villanova, it'd be a day hop. You're there, you hop there in the morning, you hop back in the evening. Okay, a day hop, okay? But it's principle and foundation. We don't want to be jeopardizing our salvation. We want to do all we possibly can to get to heaven and to bring our family to heaven. Okay, the second part of principle and foundation is... it's called the proper use of goods, the proper use of creation. And everything that God created is good. Either we can use or abuse. Everything God created is good. We can use or abuse. And you mention it, you can either use it or abuse it. You eat, but you can eat too much. That's called gluttony, right? There's nothing wrong with the food, but if we go overboard, we're committing called the sin of gluttony. Okay? Nothing wrong with sexuality, otherwise we wouldn't be here, right? But you commit adultery, that's wrong. Okay? Nothing wrong with sex. But it has to be done the right, with the right person, in the right place, in the right context, in the sacrament of matrimony. This idea is applicable to everything. It's called the law of tantum quantum in Latin, using everything with a proper purpose, intention, and the right context. Okay, the third part of Principle and Foundation is, this is called holy indifference. Now, when I say holy indifference, it doesn't mean as young people don't whatever, okay? Or apathy. But holy indifference is a total openness to God's will. You want to beg for the grace to be totally open to God's will. And Ignatius gives you four categories of holy indifference. And this is worth memorizing, because you're going to see this played out in your life. You don't want to prefer a long life to a short life. You don't want to prefer sickness over health. You don't want to prefer riches over poverty. You don't want to prefer honors over humiliations. But you want to choose what is most conducive for the end for which we're created, which is the honor and glory of God and the salvation of our souls. That is called Ignatian holy indifference, not apathy. Now, the holy indifference is going to take a lifetime to be able to live it up. It's very demanding. But if it's understood and you try to live it out, you experience a lot of peace in your life. A lot of peace. I'll give you three examples of holy indifference. The book of Job. Ever read the book of Job? Okay. Remember what happens to Job? Basically, everything falls apart. Family, his daughters, his livestock, his health, he loses his friends. Hey, everything falls apart. And Job says, "Naked I came out of my mother's womb. Naked I return to the earth. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's holy indifference. It's not easy. It's not easy. Another example, the Blessed Virgin Mary, Luke 1:38. "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to their word." Mary conforms her will to the will of God. That's holy indifference. Now, with holy indifference, it's something that you have to struggle with. Here's another example of holy indifference, the first sorrowful mystery. You remember the words of Jesus? "Father, if it be possible, take this chalice away from me. However," did you know that Jesus said that three times? Read the gospel. He said it three times. Jesus, in his human nature, was struggling with drinking that chalice, which meant what? He struggled with that in his humanity. So holy indifference is something, half of the battle is understanding it. So at least you understand the basics of what it is. For example, yesterday I went to Memorial Hospital to visit a woman probably in her late 30s, maybe early 40s, with a family. She's dying of cancer. And I went to visit her. I gave her the sacraments, and the cancer spread through her whole body. She's probably going to be discharged today or tomorrow, come back to her house living in Lakewood. And I'm going to see if I can visit her. And, I'm not going to lie to her. Yeah, God can work miracles. But probably what I'm going to say to her, look, you know, God loves you very much. He loves your husband and your three little kids. God loves you very, very much. You've gone, you've made your confession. I gave you the anointing of the sick. I'll give it to you again. I'm going to send you a minister to give you communion every day. No, until the Lord calls you. But there's a good point that the Lord's going to call you. Now, you may not agree with me the way I'm approaching this, but this is holy indifference. Why lie to her? And I'm not being mean-spirited, I'm being honest, no? To prepare her for that moment. See, you say, everything's going to be okay, you know. I'm Father Broom, I do blessings that are miraculous. You're going to be up dancing around tomorrow. Come on. That's not life. But if this is understood, my friend, it gives a lot of peace. It helps us to accept God's will so that we can get to heaven. And that's why we're here. That's why we're here. So I reiterate what I said. It's great to have all of you here. At my 7 o'clock Mass, I'm placing all of you on the altar. That God is going to give you a lot of blessings. That these are going to be the best 10 weeks in your life. And if you give me permission, I will end by saying the Hail Mary, placing you in Mary's hands, and I'll give you the blessing of St. Ignatius. Would you like that?
Yes.
Okay. Can you please stand? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb,
Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Before I forget, my helpers, Mary and Eric and Ed and Matt, and they're going to be giving you your handouts. So don't bolt right after the blessing, okay? It's going to take another 5 minutes. They'll give you your meditation material as well as your other. If you don't have your binder, they'll give that to you also, okay? The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Through the intercession of St. Ignatius, may God bless you during these 10 weeks with a lot of lights, a lot of peace, a lot of joy. Long life and eternal life in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless you and see you next week then.
Thank you, Father.